First off, a word to our podcast listeners from Haim and Kyle. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Haim.
Well, really, I'm just here to apologize. We've had some problems with our server and problems with some of the sound quality on some of the files, and really, I just am asking our listeners, please let us know if you have any trouble, and please be patient. We'll straighten it out. We fired all the staff. We have...
all of them.
We gave them all pink slips.
Except two.
Except for us two, right?
Right.
And we'll see what we can do about that. So let's get on with the this week's segment.
Email us if you have problems.
Please do. We really need to hear from you. We need the feedback. And because we don't know. We don't listen to this thing.
We've already heard it.
So thanks a lot.
This is Sunday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. And with me is Haim Goodman-Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Haim. It's the Sunday after Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue in Fayetteville.
For me, that's great. I don't know.
I kind of enjoy it.
Most people do. But
For the uninitiated, that's a weekend in Fayetteville when 300,000 motorcyclists come to town.
Right.
We've talked about the shape of the universe the past couple of weeks.
That's
right. We're
going
to shift.
I would like to just pose a little puzzle, and we'll answer it in a second. It's a sort of a classic. It's about this man-eating or something. He does a favor for the king, and the king says, name your price. And he says, oh, well, I'd like the following. You put one grain of rice on the first square of a chessboard, and then double that for the next square, so two grains of rice on the next square, and double that again, four grains on the next square, and so on, all the way through the chessboard. And the king says, oh, yeah, sure, that's no big deal. Why not? And the point is that it starts off pretty slowly, you know. I mean, after 10 squares, it's only 1,000 grains of rice, which is probably too many to fit on a square, but it's not so many. But by the 20th square, it's 1,000,000 grains of rice, which is, I don't know how many, that's probably about a ton of rice, roughly. By the 40th square, gosh, it is a 1,000,000 tons of rice.
A million tons?
A million tons. And by the 60th square, we're up to approximately a trillion tons of rice, which is far greater than the
The king doesn't have that.
The king doesn't have that, right. So what's going on?
So did this guy lose his head? I mean...
Yeah, you shouldn't be smarting off to
right.
the king. Right. That's true.
Yeah,
good point. I think the king they didn't get that far, probably. The king probably saw what was coming. So what's going on here is exponential growth, the compounding again and again of the amount. We're doubling repeatedly. We'll talk about compound interest a little bit more in a second, but if we had if you had some very thoughtful ancestors who had invested $1 at a mere 5% interest for you, say a century ago, right now you'd have over $100. Just that $1 would be $100. Or if it had been 200 years ago, it would be $17,000.
You know, you can't live on that, but that's better
than
nothing.
If you had really, really foresighted ancestors, say 500 years ago, you'd have $39 billion. If they'd invested $1 at a mere 5% interest.
In 1506.
1506.
Yeah.
The banking system hasn't been any sort of consistent banking system for this long, but if it had been done 2,000 years ago, get this, you'd have...
We're talking $1?
$1 at 5%. You'd have 2.4 million trillion dollars in the bank today. So...
What you're telling us here is compound interest. In the short... I mean, the Cliff's Notes version of compound interest is over time, it builds up.
It's phenomenal. Right. As all investors... should know.
But you got to have time.
Well, there's another way to get the time.
Oh.
Which is to compound it over shorter and shorter intervals. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. So before we can do that, let's just quickly run down how compound interest works. So I'd kind of like $100, Kyle. You got it?
Well, I don't have it on me, but I tell you what, in a matter of a couple hours, I can have you $100.
Okay.
But I want $200 back from you a year from today.
So suppose you let me slide and not pay you after 1 year. Let me pay you after a couple of years, five years. We'll get around to working it out down the line. So so how much would I owe you at the end of 2 years? Well, I owe you $100. Let me try this out.
Okay.
At the end of the first year, I owe you the original $100 and then $100 of interest.
That we agreed to.
Right. And at the end of the second year, I owe you another $100 of interest. And another $100 of interest after that.
See, I don't think that's quite how it works, because okay, a year from now, you owe me the principal, the $100 I gave you.
Yeah.
And you are not paying me the $100 interest.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So then 2 years from today, in 2008, I think you owe me money on the principal and on the interest I didn't get.
Because I'd owe you $200 at the end of a year from now.
Right.
And you want interest on that too? You really – I have to owe you
– Well, you have to look – you know, years of looking at credit card bills. And, you know, if you don't pay – if you're one day late, then all of a sudden it's a 29% interest.
So actually this was kind of a really contentious topic, say, 500 years ago, about whether it was fair to charge interest on the interest. But, you know, the way we've just talked about it, I think is the right – that's the modern point of view, is that at the end of a year I'd owe you $200. So we start over again. Can we just ratchet the interest rate down a little bit?
Okay.
Something more normal.
Sure. You want 100? How about it? You give me 110.
Okay. So we'll do a 10% interest rate.
Right. Per year.
So what I do is, if I owe you $100 now, at the end of the year, we multiply that by 1.1, and we'll get 110, 10% interest on top of that. At the end of 2 years, we'd multiply it by 1.1 again to get an additional 10% interest. So I'd owe you $121. And then 133 at the end of 3 years, multiplied by 1.1 again, and so forth. But if you compound a little more frequently, you actually get more money. So suppose that instead you're going to charge me 10% a year, but you're going to compound it first at the end of 6 months, and then again at the end of 6 months after that. So you charge me 5% interest at the end of 6 months, and then another 5% at the end of a year.
And that's going to be different than charging you 10% at the end of 1 year?
That's right. It seems like it should be about the same, but it isn't, because we're multiplying.
Right.
You get to charge interest on the interest a little bit sooner.
So at the end of 6 months, it's $100 plus the 5%, so it's 105. So now it's 5% on that.
Right.
So that's going to be a little bit more.
A little bit more, but it adds up. So it's 1.05 times 1.05 at the end of the year. That only comes out to being about actually a quarter more, literally a quarter, 25 cents more on $100. But that's enough.
Yeah, and if I'm loaning money to you and 900 other people, those 900 quarters make a difference.
Well, what if you compound, say, weekly? Mm. Then you charge 1/52nd of the interest
each week, adding up.
So you actually get a little bit more. And the way you can actually work out what that is you take 10%, 1.1, divide it by 52, whatever that comes out to be. Mm-hmm. You add that. So you have 1 plus a little tiny bit of interest, and you keep multiplying that by itself 52 times. And on $100, that actually starts to make a difference. That comes out to be, well, you get 50 cents more.
Well, again.
Okay, it adds up. So here's this week's question. Well, if you compound every day, you get more. If you compound every second, you get more. Mm-hmm. What happens if you compound like every 10,000th of a second, every instant?
Is that possible?
Well, you can't really do it every instant. But what if you do it over shorter and shorter periods of time? Could the amount that you get go up, skyrocket forever? Could you actually end up getting like a bazillion dollars on your money just by compounding faster and faster? Or is there some sort of upper limit to what's attainable?
Okay, I think I know the answer, but we'll wait till next week.
Okay.
I'll ruminate on that.
Thanks a bunch.
Shakespeare. Wasn't it the bard who said neither a lender nor borrower be?
And it's wise advice.
That's right. Chaim, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chaim Goodman-Strauss is a math professor at the University of Arkansas, regular visitor to Sunday Ozarks at Large.